Okay, so let's pick up with the Gemara in Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We've been discussing so far the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding the nature of Eish. Do we say Isho Mishum Chitzav, which is Rav Yochanan's position, that we treat fire like it's your energy, like you're throwing something to do damage, and so it's essentially like out of a mazik. Of Rish Lakish, or according to Rish Lakish, he says Isho Mishum Mamono, that we view your Eish, that if it's your fire, then it's your property that's doing damage, and you're liable for damages that are done by your property, just like you're liable for damages that are done by anything else that you own. Okay, so says the Gemara, Tashma, Hamadlik is a gadish, Vahyagadi kafaslo. So now we're up to the third Raya to Rav Yochanan, where we're now bringing up this Mishnah that we had a little bit later, where the Mishnah says, Hamadlik is a gadish, vayigadi kavaslo. If you lit a gadish, a pile of grain, on fire, and there was a goat that was tied to that great big pile of grain, ve'evet samachlo, and there was a slave nearby, v'nishrafimo, and the slave got burnt up along with it. Now, but just note though, it's only the gadi that's tied to the pile of grain. It's not the evet that's tied to the pile of grain. The evet is just nearby hanging out, and while he's hanging out, he just gets burnt up along with the gadi. So the question is going to be, are you going to be chayv to pay for the damages that you do to the gadi and to the gadish? So the Mishnah tells us, in this case, chayv, yeah, you're going to be liable to pay for damages for the gadi and for the pile of grain. Why are you going to be chayv? Aye, but you killed an Eved, and if you killed an Eved, wouldn't we say Kamalei B'Dramine, because if you kill an Eved, you're also Chayav Misa? So the answer is, though, that no, it's that in this case, the Eved should have run away, right? He wasn't tied up. He could have easily run away, so therefore you're not going to be liable for that. Now, Eved Kafaslo, but what about if it's the slave that's tied up to the pile of grain? Ugadi Samaklo, and it's the goat that's just nearby, but it's not tied to it. Vinishraf imo, and the goat gets burnt up along with it. Pater. Well, in this case, you're going to be pater for paying for the gadi and for the gadish. Why are you pater? Because in this case, yeah, you are responsible for the death of the eved. You killed the eved, essentially. And so if that's the case, we'd say kamalei b'dramine. We're not going to say that you have to get killed and make a payment. You're going to be excused from payment by being killed instead. So that's what the Mishnah says. So again, we have two cases in this Mishnah that we're talking about. We're talking about you set a gadish on fire and there's a goat that's tied to the gadish, but the eved is hanging out nearby. So in that case, you're going to be liable to pay for what you did to the gadish and for what you did to the gadi. But if the eved is tied up to the pile of grain and the gadi is nearby and everything gets burnt up, so then we're going to say that you are going to be pater because we say kam lei b'drabamine. Okay, so that's the case of the Mishnah. So Bishlam Alman Damer Ish Mishum Chitzav. It makes a lot of sense if you learn like Rav Yochanan that we view Eish like it's your arrows, like it's your energy, that you're damaging something actively. So Mishum Achibater. Then I can understand why it is that you're Pater, because we will invoke the concept of Kam Le B'Ramine, right? You did an act of murder. You actively killed the Eved. And so because you actively killed the Eved, because we view the Eish as you throwing something at the Eved himself, so you're going to be Pater because we say Kam Le B'Ramine. El Mandamar Ishu Mishu Mimono. But if you learn like Rav Shlakish, who says that for Eish you're liable because it's your property, am I Pater? Why should it be Pater, right? Ilu Katal Ture Avda, if his ox would have killed an Eved, Hachanami Delo Machayev, here also you would also not be, for this case also you wouldn't be chayiv. Meaning to say, if we view age as your property, so let's just plug in ox for the word age to figure out what the din should be, right? So if your ox went and killed an eved, you wouldn't be chayiv mis in that case, right? You wouldn't be chayiv mis at all. You'd be chayiv to pay, right? Because we wouldn't say kam l'ramine. We wouldn't be chayv misa. You'd be chayv to pay money, right? Because we say that you have to pay 30 shekel if your property kills somebody's eved. So why would we even be invoking kam l'ramine if you learn like Rish Lakish? So the Mishnah seems to make sense only according to Rav Yochanan's perspective on Eish. So I'm with Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says back, he would tell you, what are we talking about over here? Kishahitzis begufo shel eved is where you lit the body of the eved himself, the kamalei b'dramine, because then we would invoke the concept of kamalei b'dramine, right? Because in other words, in that case, that is an act of murder. And if that's an act of murder, then you're definitely going to say Kamal ibn Ramin, and you're not going to have to pay for the Gaddish or for the Gadi. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, well, wait a second, if that's the Kismail Memra, what's the big Chiddush, right? What's the purpose of saying this case? Isn't it obvious then, of course, if you commit an act of murder, you're Pater from the Teshlumen, because we say the Kamal ibn Ramin. So the Gemara says, no, Lotzricha b'gadi dechad, ve'evet dechad. It's because we're talking about it's the goat belongs to one person, and the slave belongs to a different person. So wait a second, how does that make any difference here? What does it make a difference if the goat belongs to one person, the evet belongs to a different person? So the way the Rashi explains it, is it because note, for what reason are you liable? Are you going to be chayv misa? You're going to be chayv misa because of murdering, let's say, Reuven's eved. So you murdered Reuven's eved, and you also murdered Shimon's goat, and burnt down Levi's pile of grain. So in this case, maybe we invoke Kamal ibn Ramin only when it's all relating to a single person. So maybe it has to be Reuven's slave and Shimon's gedi in order for us to say, okay, look, because you're being held accountable and chayv misa because of killing Reuven's slave, so then we'll say that you don't have to pay for Reuven's goat. But if it's Reuven's slave and Shimon's goat, maybe we'll say, look, they're two different cases. Those are two different files that are open when you go to court. One is the file for Reuven's court, for the case with Reuven, where you're going to be held on trial because you murdered his slave, and then there's going to be another file that's going to be open because you killed Shimon's gedi. Maybe that's how we view it. So the chiddush over here is that even though it's Reuven's slave and Shimon's gedi, we are still going to invoke Kamal ibn Ramin. Okay, so that was the third attempted riot of Yochanan and Kasha and Rish Lakish. Fourth, Tashma. And this was another Mishnah that we had in Hakonis. And the Mishnah told us that if you send a fire by means of a Cheir Shot of a Katan, what's the halacha? And if the fire then goes ahead and causes damage, you're going to be liable only in Shemayim, but we're not going to hold you liable in court. So what do you see though? Bish lama lamandar meisha mishum chitzav. If you learn like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Aish is like you physically damaging something, it's your energy, it's like you throwing something. So then I can understand chitzav the cherishu. It's the arrows of the cherish in this case, right? When you hand over fire to a cherish of the gotan, we view that as it's the cherish's energy, it's the cherish committing this act of damage. And if that's the case, then I can understand when a cherish shot of gotan does an act of damage, you'll be put in the adam chayvedin shmai. But el lamad arma yishum shem mamona. But if you learn like Rish Lakish, that Aish, the liability, the responsibility that you have for Aish, is that it's like any other property that you own. Well, then, even Maser Shoro Lechir Shot V'Katan. So again, let's plug in the word axe for where we found the word fire in this case. So even Maser Shoro, if you would have given an axe Lechir Shot V'Katan to a Chir Shot V'Katan to take care of, Hachanam Dele Mechayev, you tell me the same thing, you're not going to be liable for the damages that are done. Of course you'd be liable, right? It's your axe, and if it's your axe, you're liable for the damages that it does. So why should fire be any different if we view fire as your property and that's why you're liable? So the Gemara says, but we taught about this, that Amr Shlakish, Mishmei Chizkiya, we know that Rish Lakish told us from Chizkiya, Lo Shanu Elikashamasa Lo Gachalas Veliba. Under what circumstances do we say that this halacha in the Mishnah is correct? That if you send a Be'era, a fire, with a Cheir Shot V'Katan, that you're going to be Patrimitin Adam, the Chayavidin Shemayim, that's only if what you handed the Cheir Shot V'Katan was not actively hazardous as is. That the cherish had to do something to make it hazardous. Meaning to say, you handed the gacheles to the cherish, veliba, and he fanned it, he blew it. And so then, once he has it, now it turns into something that's hazardous. But when you handed it to him, it wasn't something that was ready to damage. And so therefore, we can't view that like you handing over your ox, which is something that is set to damage. It's a gacheles that was rendered as that became hazardous only because the cherish essentially activated it, and so that's why you're going to be putter, because we don't view that like your ox being handed over to him, because when you handed over to him, it wasn't something that was ready to damage like an ox is ready to damage. Aval maser lo shel heves. But let's say you would have handed over a flame, a full-fledged flame. So chayiv. So then, of course, you'd be liable because that is ready set to damage. My time up, bar hezek, because there it's already set. The damage, the hazard, is already in existence. It's already ready to damage, and so therefore, that's much more like your ox. Okay, that's Rish Lakish's explanation. So therefore, if that's the explanation of Rish Lakish, so that makes a lot of sense. Now the Mishnah is not really a kash anymore. Now Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what would Rabbi Yochanan tell you? We know that he told us later on, when Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were dealing with how to understand this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan told us, Afilu shel heves patur. No, even if you handed over a fire proper to the Cheir Shel Tefach Katan, you'd be patur. Why? Because he holds tzavsa de cheresh kagarim. It is the tzavsa of the cheresh that causes it. Meaning to say, and we discussed this a little bit later, there are a couple of different explanations for how to define the word tzavsa, but the simplest one is that it's his grip, it's his energy, it's him who causes the damage, and so therefore, lo mechayiv ademasale gavza silsa v'shraga. The only way that you're going to be liable, you're not going to be liable until you hand over to him gavza silsa v'shraga, which we explained to mean that until you hand him over gavza, which is like wood, it's dried wood, silsa is like kindling wood or like smaller pieces of wood, and shraga is of course the flame. If you hand over all the elements together, then, as Rashi explains, you're posheya. You're completely negligent. And if that's the case, that's when you would be liable. But until that happens, you're going to be pater. Okay. So far we have had a total of four attempted rayas to Rav Yochanan, kashas and Rish Lakish, and we have refuted all of them so far. So now comes along Rava. I'm a Rava. Kro mas nisa misayelei l'Rav Yochanan. I have a pasuk and a brayza that both seem to support Rav Yochanan. What are they? So Kro, the pasuk that seems to support Rav Yochanan's position regarding Eish, Dichsiv, is as the pasuk in Mishpatim tells us, ki seite Eish umatza kotzim. Now look at this pasuk. The pasuk says, ki seite Eish umatza kotzim, when a fire will go out and find thorns, v'nechal gadish, or a pile of grain gets consumed, oh hakam, or a stalk, or a sod, or a field, shalem yishalem hamavir esabeira. Who has to pay? The person who pays is the person who ignited the fire, the person who was mavir. So what do you see? So says Rav, I'll take a look at this pasuk. Kra, dechsev ki seitzei esh. What do you see? Teitzei mi'atzma. It sounds like the fire is going out all by itself. It's going out from your property into the Nizik's property. And under those circumstances, we say, yishalem ha'mavir esa be'era. The igniter of the fire is going to have to pay. So what do you see? So you see that we treat the fire like your energy. It's like you throwing things. It's like you actively did the damage. Now, Masnisa, we have a Braisa that also supports Rav Yochanan. Where do you see the Braisa that supports Rav Yochanan? The Tanya is the Braisa that tells us, Pasach HaKasav B'nizkei Mamono V'si M'nizkei Gufa. I don't get it. The Pasach starts off by discussing property damages, right? It says when your fire goes out, it sounds like the fire is like your ox, it's like your property damaged. V'siim b'nizkei gufo, and then it concludes and ends off discussing damages that are done by your body, because we say who pays the mavir esa be'er, the person who lights the fire, and we call you the mavir, you're the one who did the burning. So what do you see then? Because the whole point of that pasuk, the shift from nizkei mamono to nizkei gufo in the same case, is to tell you this concept of isha mishum chitzav, that you're liable for your age as though you actively, physically did something.